Okay. Please God, next Tuesday is going to be Purim, and there's a lot of things that go on Purim, and a lot of times there's a lot that goes on that we're missing. Very, very excitingly, because, you know, in Leva Torah, when anything has, like, attendance, that's, like, a big deal, because it takes a lot to get attendance here. But I just saw there's 77 people signed up for Yeshivas Mordechai HaTzadik, which is amazing, except for the fact that we're still missing half the yeshiva. So other than that point, it's really, really exciting. But having 77 would probably be the most people at anything since like the first shachar, so the first day of yeshiva. So that's very exciting. If you have not yet signed up, don't be a loser and go sign up. It's one or two slots that you need to do. It's not that hard, and you're probably not doing anything anyway at those anyway at those points. But it's very, very important. So much is going on Purim. The idea of being able to make sure that we're learning Torah, which is the ikkar of our purpose in this world, is to make sure that we're learning Torah and growing as B'nai Yeshiva, and our Avodas Hashem. So if you have not signed up, Simcha. Oh, you did sign up. I saw your name. But if you have not yet signed up, Yeshiva's Mordechai HaTzadik, I told Ramona to hold it off. Make sure to put your name on, if you go to 1 o'clock mincha or whatever, but to write your name on there. Don't be one of the losers where Rove of the Yeshiva is doing it. That's like a really, really big deal. And we should be a part of that. In addition, on Purim, we also have, there's other mitzvahs besides the suda, besides drinking. And we're not really gonna go so into all those aspects, but we're gonna focus on maybe an extension of Tanos Avyona, but it's not even really that. We're going to focus on one idea that's going to connect to Tefillah. But before we get there, when you have your Purim Suda, so generally speaking, the clock hasn't changed. I don't know when Shkia is now, probably like 5:40-ish, 5:30-ish, 20, I don't know, something, something along those lines. Yeah, probably around 5:20 is, I think, or 5:40, I don't know, whatever it might be, is Shkia, which means that on Purim, and technically the day would end, it would go into Tesva, they're like 5:45, 5:50. Most of you, since Mars at 9:45, it'll be a very, very bad idea if your students end then, because you'll have a lot of time to do things, and that's probably not the best idea. So in general, the general idea of the Mahalach of a Purim Suda is that it extends into Tesva, into the next day. And it's very obvious that we're on such a high, sometimes literally, sometimes metaphorically. Sometimes, whatever high you're on, Hamavin Yavin. Whatever high that you're on, so we need to take that Kedusha into the next level. It's not just enough that we had Yedalin. We have to extend that into Tesvav. And we see that in other stuff. We see that by Yom Kippur, that we bring in Yom Kippur while it's still Tes, and we extend Yom Kippur into Yedalin, and on Simchas Torah, We finish Zos HaBracha, and we go straight into Sefer Yoshua and straight into Bracious, because we have to always be building. It's not, as Kobe said so eloquently, it would be such a chaval, but in addition to chaval, it would be the thing that would keep the Rebbeim up at night and crying for hours and hours, is if you do so much in yeshiva, and then you extend that and you do nothing post-yeshiva. The whole point of your time here is that you're building on having success post-yeshiva. Why, like, when I tell people you should do nice here and YU, like, oh, what's nice here? Like, well, you do nice here and leave a Torah, so why are you doing nice here and YU? It makes absolutely no sense to me. Like, you're doing it here, or in theory. It's on the schedule here, so at least put on your schedule there, and then not be... Okay. You have a lot to worry about. But the idea is we have to be building. When we're taking something here, whatever you're taking for your time here, it's not only, oh, I took a 2-year gap in my life, but they call it the gap year. I took a 2-year gap in my life, and now, okay, I'm going to just go back to what I was, graduation of 12th grade. But rather, what we took here, we're building on that for the future. In life, there's a time and place for everything. There's a time for Torah, there's a time for davening. I'm not so great at that, mainly because I find myself a slow minyanim and I don't daven so slowly. So I try to like combine the two. But it's not a good hashkafa. Like, you should really, like, when you're davening, you should daven. When you're learning, you should learn when you're doing it. That's why, like, when people say, oh, I went to Hask, but I was learning all day while I was with my camper, like, that doesn't inspire me. Like, you shouldn't be in Hask then. Okay, you should all be in Hask. But, like, you shouldn't be in Hask then. Like, you should be in...
I may try never.
Good. You should be in a different place. Like, go to a kolo. They're like, when you're there, like, you need to be doing what the avodah at hand is. On, you know, there's a lot to talk about tefillah as a whole, and maybe we'll, maybe we'll allude to that later. But on Purim itself, tefillah is not like, it's not a regular day. Like today, you know, when you bounce out of here to get to that 1 o'clock mincha, it's not the same as mincha's next Tuesday, and it doesn't have that same. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not viewing it the same as he's viewing it next Tuesday. There's a yisod on Purim. Purim's there's five times the Shari Tshuva and Hoshana Rabbah bring, you know, as we all know, like, you're not ready at the point that you're doing it, but hopefully in one day, like, we all know, like, in the morning the best time to daven is Masikin. Like, that's not really an argument. Like, it doesn't mean you're a bad Jew if you daven before, you daven after, and you go to 8 o'clock, like, don't daven both. Like, you're such an Abba Aris, you have 8 o'clock mean you are not daven Masikin. No, he's not an Abba Aris. And there's nothing wrong with davening at 8 o'clock, but obviously the best time to daven is Masikin. It's brought down in the Gemara, it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, but we can't always do that. But the Shari Tshuva and Hoshana Rabbah brings down specifically 5 days that is at that time is a mamash and eighth rasun of tefillah. Like, you have different powers. Like, not that like today Hashem is like taking the day off. Like, he's obviously not taking the day off, but on Purim he's hearing you in a much different way. In those 5 days are Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Hoshana Rabbah, Tisha B'Av, and Purim. It's a real, real eighth ratzon for tefillah. So there's a halacha. This maybe extends to Matanos Avion, and maybe does not. But in general, I don't know. I don't think this would be okay if this happened in the dorms. This probably would really not be. It wouldn't be allowed. But you know, I get this sometimes. You know, I don't live in like one of these fancy houses here, so I don't get it as much. But I get it sometimes. You get a knock on your door. And now, like around Purim time, I get it every day or multiple times a day. It's like annoying when it's like late and wakes up my kids. But you know, you get a knock on your door, and generally speaking, okay, whatever people have different. I think like people either always give or they never give. Sometimes they catch you on a good day and give you a real story and you give more, but I think that's a general mahalach of a person. I'm either going to give and I don't really care what you're going to say. I'm not going to give and I don't care what you say. Or I'm going to give and maybe you'll be able to sway me, you know, based on what you say.
You probably get them to give you.
But normally it's not that simple. It's not that simple because let's say like a rich guy comes in collecting. Obviously that's not a mitzvah stucca. Guys also shouldn't do that, but it's obviously not a mitzvah stucca. So normally, like, our money is valuable and we're supposed to, like, you know, again, what are you supposed to do? A guy knocks on your door, like, you can't really call up, you know, the rabbi who signed his haskama at that time to ask him about that. But normally speaking, like, you're supposed to do like a little bit of an investigation. Like, you don't, or you're entitled to do a little bit of investigation. If you don't give, okay, you know, I have to investigate. But on Purim, the halacha is brought down that anyone who stretches out their hand, anyone who puts out their hand, we don't look into them. We don't examine them. We give them money right away, which would mean probably be a good idea. Maybe don't do it today because I still haven't done it. I want to make sure I get my change before you guys. But maybe a good idea for Purim to, like, maybe take a 10 or a 20 or a 50 shekel and go get a bunch of half a shekel or one shekel or agaro, you know, whatever it is that you want to do, so that anyone that comes to you on Purim, you're able to be Mekayim that halacha. I will say though that, like, giving 10 agaro, I'm not really sure actually does anything because I don't. I don't think that really, like, actually helps the ani, but okay, in any event, you be you. But the idea is brought down that on Purim itself, we don't question. Alright, Zach, there's no questioning. Are you an ani? Are you rich? It doesn't matter. We don't question. So now you're gonna say, well, that's not really so fair. You know, I don't think this would happen in yeshiva. You need a code, and I don't know if people are allowed in. But where I daven Purim morning, and this is not an exaggeration, when I say several hundred people are going to show up. Maybe I'll daven here, but if I daven there, several hundred people show up to collecting money. So it doesn't matter. Ish Kodesh, but it doesn't matter. So if you're giving, like, even a half a shekel, even a shekel, besides the fact that it can be super annoying during davening, but that can really add up. So I can have a whole title. God, it's not fair. You know, you didn't make every profession lucrative. You know, I'm not an investment banking. I'm not a high-end lawyer. I'm not Ozzy's dad who's got a business. He doesn't even know what his father does for a living. You know, I'm not a drug addict. Okay, I'm not that. You know, I'm a fundraiser. You know, I come through a policy owner, Jake Shear, and we hock around, we schmooze, you know, giving a shekel to all these people, you know, that's like really hard. God, that's not fair. And you know what God's going to say, you know, Merrill, you say good. You talk and say good. It's not fair. It's wrong. I'm kind of messing you over here. You know, every year, it adds up, you know. It could be when my daughter wants a new Barbie, or my son wants a bike, and we want this. I can be saving up for that, but instead I gotta support the Aniyim of Beit Shemesh. It's hard. So comes along the Chasam Sofer, and he says, you know what? God's not really such a jerk. God's a fair guy. And God says, you know what? I got a great deal for you. Anyone who stretches out their hand, you have to give them, you can't question them. And I'm going to throw you a bone. I'm going to do the exact same thing for you. Anything you ask for in Tefillah, anything you daven for in Purim, I'm going to answer you. You extend your hand to me, to God. God says, I'm giving back to you. Now, you know, I want to be fair because I don't want you guys to call me out on this. I don't want you to say, you know what happened? You know, I was here on Thursday. I even went to the 3:30 mincha with Shana Ben. I didn't bolt out at 1 o'clock like a donkey with my pants falling off. You know, I even went to the 3:30 mincha, and you told me whatever you asked for, I asked for, I'm going to get. And you know what I asked for? I asked for $1 million. And you know what happened? Probably not even $1 million. I don't have so much money anymore. I asked for $100 million. You know what happened? God did nothing. He didn't give it to me. Okay, it doesn't mean God can't do it, but you know, he's not gonna run a world that way. But I know personally for myself, and I've heard from many, many others who have had serious, serious tefillahs that have been answered on Purim, that have come through, things they have really, really needed. Like, you know, as you get older in life, you know, again, I wasn't saying in jest, like, just so people should know, you know, the nonprofit industry is not the highest paying industry out in the world. Like, if you want to make a lot of money, you know, and I recommend you probably shouldn't go into nonprofit, you probably shouldn't be a doctor. Those probably aren't the way they're going to make a lot of money. Nonprofit because you won't make a lot. A doctor because you'll be too deep into life and have too many expenses before you're making money, so then you're not going to make enough that way. But there are other ways to make money. But as you get older, you kind of will realize that, like, when there's so much that you need, like, $100 million, $100 million would be amazing. $1 million, $1 million shekel would be amazing. But there's so many other things in life that I need that are so much more important for me, for my family, for this world, than like $100 million, like, it wouldn't really even crack the list. So now we're holding by Thursday, and Purim is Monday night, and Poser's wondering this. Is that the doctor's? He's wondering a lot of things about what I said. So now Purim is Monday night, and like anything in life, we can't be successful without a little bit of preparation. You know, if you show up, you know, for anyone who saw the Super Bowl, what I was most amazed by the game, it was such unbelievable preparation on both sides of the ball by both teams. Like, neither team played bad defensively, but it was just masterful offensive performances. And they really were just very well prepared. But what happens sometimes, like when the Chiefs played the Buccaneers, so the Buccaneers decided to prepare for the game, and the Chiefs decided, you know, let's go play a little Texas Hold'em. Let's go to the Bahamas. Let's go do whatever we want. And what happens is you see a blowout. So like everything in life, we need a little bit of preparation. So Gersh, a lot on the line for you, Gersh. Today's Thursday. Spend a little time, 72 hours or so, a little more than that. Spend the next 3-4 days preparing. What do I need a daven for? What do I need? What do I need in my life? Shua, what do you need? What do we need? Don't just show up Purim Monday night, hear of the Tanel daven, have a smile that makes you look a little odd while you're daven Mar. What do I need? No, what I need. Know what you need. Prepare. Do a little bit of achana. Zach's prepared. And Adi's going to come. He's prepared. He's using his brain. Pay your Zach. He's going to write that in his sefer. He's preparing. Pay your Zachariah. Do a little bit of preparation. Hanan. Do a little bit of achana. How am I going to make YU successful? Now I know Machon Leh is not for me. How am I going to make YU successful? All of you, do a little bit of preparation. Think. What is it that I need? What is it that I need in my life? What does the world need? What does Klal Yisrael need? What does everyone? It's not that you're distracting me beyond belief. what does everyone need? put a little bit of preparation now, but don't only do preparation. You know, I did also, I bought some wine today, like, do a little bit of that, but don't have your whole time, like, oh, and every minute, when am I going to drink, and when am I going to do this, and how drunk am I going to get, and how many cars are nearly going to hit me, and who's having a post-game, like, no joint with him, like, don't only think about that, don't only think about that, do a little preparation, because Purim's not like today. Your tefillah, in many ways, but your tefillah today is not on the same level as Purim. Understand that Yom HaPurim is real. It's real. Tefillah matters. Tefillah matters. Put time into what you need a daven for. Don't just show up with your pants falling down like a donkey running to 1 o'clock mincha. Don't let that be your life. Don't let that be your avoda in this world. But do a little bit of preparation. Do a little bit of hachana. Know what it is. What do I need to daven for? Now we'll talk a little about tefillah. I think our first time we talked about tefillah. And I was going to text me. He used to point this out last year. I only talked about tefillah. I've been much better this year. I don't know if I said anything about tefillah yet, which I don't know if that's like a chisaron in me, but I only talked about tefillah last year. I think it's like I see less tefillah in mincha this year. It's still too much because there's been more than one time this year, which is too much. I think that's what got me going, but I haven't talked so much about tefillah. But tefillah. Now we have to get to tefillah. We talked about tefillah on Purim. It might behoove us to know a little bit about tefillah. When I was Shana Aleph, I sat next to a guy from Vancouver. I actually just thought about this guy because I interviewed a kid from Vancouver via the Zoom. I actually left like two or three times in the interview to go answer the door. I respected that a lot because he clearly like needed to answer the door and was trying to like, how can I get out of this? I'm like, dude, just go answer the door. But then like your mom was looking at a blank screen. I'm like, that must have been what teachers felt like during the Zoom era. But this guy from Vancouver, I sat next to him, Shana Aleph. And he was a Baal Tshuva. This isn't an anti-Baal Tshuva thing. I have no problem with Baal Tshuvas. It just happens to be that probably they see things differently than if you grow up religious. It's probably just not a hot take. That's just an honest take. But this guy tells me one day how awesome is tefillah. I'm like here at Leva Torah, davening, dude, it's terrible. He's like, what are you talking about? He didn't yell. Only I yell. I'm like, what's so great about tefillah? He's like, 18 minutes a day, 6 minutes each Shemoneh Esrei. You and God, you and alone time with God, you just get to daven to God. Like, what's better than that? It's you and God for 18 minutes. I'm like, you know, at that time, like, you know, you're a crazy meshuggah. But again, as you get older and you start to realize, like, there is something liberating to this time off. It's quiet. It's just me and God. And then, you know, I started to do that. I don't count Shana Beg. I don't know if you guys have multiple mincha minyanim or, you know, you're a lost cause. You know, whatever the case might be. But I started counting how many Shana Aleph or mincha the last few days. So I walk around during mincha. And it's bad. It's really bad. And we're talking about, and it's March. You know, this isn't Yud Elul anymore. You know, it's Tetz Adar. It's terrible. It's 3 weeks left in the Zman. I also talk about that a lot. How much time is left in the Zman? That was a big thing I talked about last year also. It's terrible. It's terrible how few people are coming. And it's not even like, okay, there's a rule to come to Dadi. Who cares? Oh, now we're getting the line back. I said last year also. We're bringing it all back. Anyone who goes to davening because Rav Paltiel cares, or Rav Kowalski will have a schmooze with you, or Rav Boaz cares, you're a loser do'oraisa. You are a loser do'oraisa. You are the biggest type of loser that you can possibly be. There's no one who's a bigger loser than that guy. No one gives a rat's rear end about what they think. Do it because of yourself. Do it because of yourself, and it's terrible. Time. You and God. Like, I get time with God. And if I think that God doesn't hear me and God doesn't do anything, lash out. Come into your Shemoneh Esrei and lash out at God. God, what are you doing? Rivainu? God, Rivainu, you're killing people left and right. Terrorists here. You know, left and right is going on. Rivainu? God, what are you doing? How are you letting this go on? Let it out. Lash out that anger. You get that opportunity 3 times a day to lash it out. Hopefully you shouldn't be lashing it out. But one-on-one time, you and God, like, and less than half of them are showing up. Less than half the yeshiva is showing up. Like, you know, we need a new base medrash. We need a new base medrash. We need people to show up in the Pekakin base medrash. That's what we need. Shana Beg, guys. Be role model. Doesn't mean giving rebuke. Doesn't mean yelling at them. It also means if you show up, that's gonna be a chain reaction. It's gonna trigger it. But you know, it's crazy. It's ridiculous. An opportunity to talk to God. You know, you're getting, and not like those weird people you see like in the street who are like yelling, "Thank you, Hashem." Like, it's weird while they're doing it, like while walking on like Ein Gedi with like, you know, this person and their four children and that grandmother, like, you know, weird thing. Like, here, like in Shmoneh Esrei, in Tefillah, is normal. Everyone's doing it. We're missing out on this. And just that we think, sometimes we get in our head because, you know, we live in like the now generation. You know, I get it. I got kids. They live in the now generation. I get it. I very, very much so. So we expect everything to be answered right away. Like, if you ask, one of the great things about Rasid, I've asked him several thousand shaylos in my life. There's only twice ever he didn't have an answer I got on the spot. Which is good, because it's annoying if he didn't. But it's important because I live in a now generation. Like, you know, there's other people I've asked Shiloh, they just never know the answer. Or they say, "I'll get back to you in a month." Like, a month? A minute? I want the answer right now. We live in a now generation. So sometimes we might think, "Oh, we're diving to HaKadosh Baruch Hu," but he didn't answer it. You know, why won't that girl talk to me? She won't talk to you because you look like a spaghetti, but she won't talk to you. You know, stop looking like a shvamazel. You know, maybe cut out your nose hairs, and okay, things might change. You know, God can't perform miracles with the nose hairs. You got to put a little shadows in yourself. I have a lot of nose hairs. I get it. It's all good. I'm married. I can look like a shvamazel. You know, that's why you could gray also when you start having kids. You know, it's maybe nothing. So we live in the now generation. So when God doesn't answer me right away, like, "Oh, God can't do anything. God sucks. God's terrible. I asked for this. I asked for that. Oh, I couldn't get it. I didn't get this. I didn't get that. Oh, why do we have this struggle? Why do we have that struggle? You know, why does this have to go on? Why does that? You know, it's not fair. God doesn't know what he's doing. You know, simple as diving for 6 months to get back to yeshiva so he stops playing soccer and Passaic and trying to see me on my trips and it never working out. Like, I don't know what's going on with Simcha." And he's like, "Oh God, you can't make it happen." All of a sudden, February? God, that's all you do is February? You know, they played a whole football season. That's the amount of time you needed? So sometimes we think, "Oh, God can't do anything," because we don't get our results right away. When I was in 2014, Parshas Vayishlach, I spent Shabbos at my brother in the Five Towns with Opie Nat. He's a wedding singer, a rabbi in Queens, has a lot of children. I think one time on his 10th kid, his father-in-law missed the bris, and Rabbi Pesach Kron told him, "Don't worry, he'll be at the bris next year." And I think they did have another boy. But he was telling over a story, and that summer, there were three boys, Yael, Yifrachi, Ladoshir, and Naftali Frankel, who all got kidnapped, and for weeks, you guys were young, but for weeks, there was a lot of tefillah going on. A lot of unity. At that point, I told my wife, like, "We gotta make Aliyah now." That one problem. We just needed money before we made Aliyah, so it wasn't in the card. Like, we just got to be in Israel now. And a couple.
So, do you guys
want to raise Aliyah? No, we got jobs. A couple weeks later, they were found and they were all dead. It was pretty obvious they were basically dead from like the first minute they were taken. It wasn't like so long, but there were tons and tons of tefillahs going on. And Rav Opie Nat said, like, "What's the point of that?" You know, like, if you're, like, imagine, I wouldn't say one should do this. Imagine, like, you're davening for someone. You're davening for a married woman to, like, be your wife. And you're not smart. Like, that's what you're dying for. Like, you're dying for a married woman. Like, "I want to marry a married woman." Or someone who's engaged. Like, that's what you're davening for. Okay, God runs the world. Can he, a broken engagement happen? A divorce has happened? Sure. I wouldn't say, like, the route you should be taking. But sure it can happen. But you're basically davening for something that, like, is not so realistic. Like, maybe it makes more sense. And as a general question, I tell my kids now, my 7-year-old, every day I ask him if he's davening for his Bashir, that she had a good day. And you should be davening for whoever eventually you're going to marry, that she's having success and things are going well. But Rav Opie Nat asks, what was the point of tefillahs? What did they do? The kids were dead. We're saying Tehillim to help people survive who are dead. And that'd be like a very, very, like, imagine you're at the funeral, you're over the grave, and you're davening for this person. "I have a refuah, I have a refuah." You know, that's why Rav Ushers are on staff, because then you got to see someone. There's obviously something very, very wrong with you that you're doing that. So Rabbi Nat said, how tefillah, and he quoted from Rav Pinkus, how tefillah works is there's a whole bank of tefillah. HaKadosh Baruch, you guys do what you have to do. We could all be donkeys. We could all be donkeys. Rav Pinkus says that when it comes to tefillah, it's a whole bank of tefillahs. So I'm diving for something today. It may not get answered. Zach diving for something today. Zach is an amazing mincha. He's next to Klinger. He's just on fire. He's seeing the payas and everything. It gets him on fire. Where the hell is Klinger? It gets him going good. And Zach's diving. And it doesn't get answered. And Azulai and his Fari Koach, he's diving. And it doesn't necessarily get answered. But what's happening is, it is getting answered. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has got a bank. So what happened in 2014? This is in the summer. Rosh Hashanah 2014. You know, we have phases. We're holding my phases again with a lot of terror attacks. So this terror group, they have an amazing, amazing way. You know, we're very lucky, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should keep it this way. Thank God, you know, the terrorists are, they're just not so good at what they do. You know, like you sometimes see like tons and tons of rockets, and like there's like one injury on like 17,000 rockets. Like that's beyond Malah Min HaTeva. So the terrorists were planning a massive, massive attack for Rosh Hashanah. A massive Rosh Hashanah attack going to like 25 different shuls underground, going to cause a whole thing. And somehow the IDF, you know, it was before Leva Chayal, so maybe it was former, maybe it was Shmaya Silverman, maybe it was former Leva Torah guys who were in the army, and they got news of it, and they got a leak, and they found the tunnel where they were planning to go under to start these attacks. And they were able to eliminate the issue. They were able to avert any disaster, any problem that was going to happen. It all got eliminated on the spot, and there were no terror attacks, and it all ended. So Rabbi Nag says, how did that happen? Because 3 weeks before, Klal Yisrael brought their A game. They showed up to the dance. They're like, you know, we have our brothers are missing, and we daven, and we. And we davened for real. We didn't just do this thing. Oh, Rapaldio saw me here, and he gave a check in his stupid attendance sheet. The only attendance sheet that matters is the one above. HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This attendance is stupid. Stupid. Dumb. No point of it. Nothing happens anyway. What's the point of it? So they had to use his arm. Do what I'm doing during Mincha. Academy Shana'af guys are here. It's much more productive use of your time than doing check. Dumb. But what happened? They had real tefillah. They had real tefillahs. And that mattered. And the Kaddish Baruch was like, you know what? These boys, they never had a chance. For whatever reason. We're not going to ask Kashi. You can ask a lot of Kashis. I'm not one of those people. I can't give you an answer. I have no idea. I have no idea why these things happen. But the one thing I know for sure is every time Hashem needs to keep reminding us, he needs to bring another, you know, and it can be any one of us. Like, you know, it's random. Like, it could, a guy here for a wedding from America. God, like, it is random. It could be any one of us. Why a Kaddish Baruch Hu picks them, who knows? It's not for me to say. But what comes out of it is unity. It comes tefillahs. It comes tears to a Kaddish Baruch Hu. And what happens is a Kaddish Baruch Hu keeps the tears. And he keeps the tefillahs. And one day we really, really need it. Not that we wouldn't have needed it for these, you know, for the guys that died this week. We wouldn't need it for them also. But for whatever reason, it wasn't for them. Sometimes Hashem does have a bigger picture. And he's keeping it in the bank for when the Jews really need it, for when Klal Yisrael really needs it, to have a real savior, to have a real redemption, and that's tefillah. Tefillah really matters. Okay, you can't make it dominion. But they're not davening. Like you hear Shana Bet. They're not davening three times a day. However you want to daven. Maybe minion doesn't speak to you. Maybe this doesn't speak to you. But talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it has to speak to each and every one of us. That's it. That's a fundamental avodah and a fundamental privilege that we have. And we're tired. You know, there are mornings that I feel like I had COVID like a couple months ago because I feel like I'm going through the same exact thing I've had every other time. Like I'm so lethargic in the morning. It's so hard to get up. It's hard. You know, the staff in Leva Torah, they're human too. They're the same exact challenge. Okay, maybe not the same, but the similar challenges to what you have. It's not easy. You think Rav Klausner's easier than in the morning? He likes his bed. He has a comfortable pillow. He has a comfortable blanket. You know, he doesn't want to get up any. I don't know. But he doesn't want to get up any more than Zach wants to get up. Any more than Hanan wants to get up. He doesn't want to do it. But we do it. We do it because we want to serve Hashem. We want to have that opportunity to have our opportunity to dive into a Kaddish Baruch Hu. Tuesday, Monday night. It's very, very close. Don't show up not knowing what to daven for. Know what I really need. Know what Klal Yisrael really need. Show up. Pour out your heart. You know, I don't know if Rav Natanael speaks before or after Ma'ariv, so I don't know if that'll like help you, but hopefully you won't miss the Megillah. Don't miss the Megillah, because you daven too long. That's not a good thing either. But daven for real. Daven for real things. And daven for the ultimate redemption. And don't make Purim. Just the time. Oh, I drink a lot. But make it a time that I made sure my tefillah mattered. I did Yeshiva's Mordechai Asada because I'm not a loser. Because that's what's going on here in Leva Torah. 77 guys are signed up. That is the biggest event that will take place this year in Yeshiva that remote and threatened to kill you didn't show up to. That's like, you know, this is like a real thing happening here that people are doing. Don't be that guy on the sideline. Don't be the guy who's got his pants fell down. Don't be that guy. Be the guy that's showing up. Be the guy that's making the most out of Purim. That is, there's many, many elements to Purim. Zach, make sure every one of those goes to an Ani. Every element of Purim. Amazing. Okay, that was idiotic. Every element of Purim. Take it all in. And as we say, like, after Purim, Zman's over. Like, we can try to pretend like stuff are going on here, but we know it's over. Like, it's ending on Purim. Like, that's the end. Okay, we'll have two more weeks, but that's really just a formality. It's ending then. Okay, we'll talk about what to make of that time after, next week. It's really just a formality. Make the day matter. Make the day really count, and maybe have a little opposite strong, don't throw stuff at Jews. Have a wonderful, wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful Purim.